Dawn came to me earlier and she says, Chaplain Smith, you must have made a mistake, or are you sure you wanted to read that last scripture in Romans? And if you listen to what she said, it says that when we have failed to see what we all can see, even without faith, then we begin to participate in behaviors that are unnatural and ungodly. And in fact, we begin to participate so vehemently and so enthusiastically that we begin to create idols. You see, it's very simple, but we in our own intelligence and our own brilliance complicate the simplicity. And in doing so, we have fabricated our own little gods. So the question for all of us, as I raised it with our children earlier, is we have forgotten, perhaps, the Creator. And when we forgot the Creator, that's because we have become the Creator. We create and fabricate our own images and our own gods, and suddenly we make gods out of things that aren't gods, for there is only but one God. So if I ask you the question, and if you look at it very clearly, how can you see what you can't see? Now, some will say that's magic. That's imagination. And then if you think of that theologically, you will say, well, Chaplain Smith, it's easy to see what you can't see. You see it on faith. No, let's do away with the faith promise. Let's pretend, let's believe that we are totally without faith. And if that's the case, if we're totally without the knowledge of God through Christ, or through others, or through tradition, or through scripture, or through song, or through inspiration, we're just the most simplistic kind of humans that are walking the face of this earth. Even they can see what they can't see. That is, you cannot help but to see God, lest you be dead. And yet we're looking for God in places that God isn't. And perhaps that's one of the frustrations of intelligent man. Because God is so simple and so easy and so available. When I ask the children to put their hand in front of them and pretend there's a mirror, what they're looking at is something that only God can create. Only God can create a human being. Only God can create a tree. Only God can create an earthworm. Only God can create the microorganisms that's in this piece of earth that we call organic, that gives life to us. And if you're a scientist in the least bit, you look at it, you begin to discover it, and when it gets oxygen and you look at a microscope, there's living organisms in that jar. Only God can create the rain that waters the earth. And yet here comes man. And here comes the problem. Because when man forgets the God that created, he begins to fall in the ways of sin. That is, he becomes disobedient to God. So why are we here today? We all knew that, didn't we? But we came today to remind ourselves and to remind each other that we are focused on God. That is precisely why the cross is so visibly available to us here. It's not the wood that's in the tree or the hands that formed or made that piece of art, nor reminds us of the symbolism of the Christ who became the very God and showed us the way that when our life is so impure and we forget the Creator, how can we return to God? How can I make right all the wrongs that I may have done in my life towards you and towards others? And that's simply by humbling ourselves and calling on the name of Jesus and confessing Christ to be the resource and the means to that promise of forgiveness. How can I be cleansed and purified, washed in the newness and the freshness? Or do I just want to go around feeling dirty and unnatural and decadent and perverted and despondent? You see, God can be seen by every one of us. All His creatures, great and small, God is the Creator of us all. You see, Genesis represents God as very distinct, very special, very available. But from material creation, we see what God isn't. Because when you read the Genesis introductory statement, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Now, as human beings, let's add to that. What doesn't it say? It doesn't say that God created plastic or cars or synthetic hearts or synthetic drugs, but inspired people do. And because of our inspiration and our intellect, we begin to do an observation and we see the tree and we see the leaves and we begin to decide it might give us shelter from the elements, from the storms of life. So we begin to create shelter. And then we begin to walk through the forest and we begin to pick the blueberries and the walnuts and the pecans, and we take the fish from the ocean and it nourishes our body. And then we begin to build a fire and we realize this sort of works. But if you're not careful, it works so good that suddenly we decide, I don't need God. You see? I'm always kind of moved by people in their contemporary philosophy who say, well, I'm going to let my children decide when they're going to choose to worship God. I'm a little bit, hello. You know, if I wait till I'm 25 years old to honor God, I've missed out. You know, I'm not sure that's where we should be. And I know that we who are the earth, we learned early on, as I can recall as a child, and even in the very early preschool times, and the tragedy of watching the farm grow and the harvest come and then watching a harvest fail, or watching a tobacco barn burn to the ground and seeing a slight tear on my father's eye, who I realize now that was his whole income for a year. When you're connected to the elements around you, the hurricanes and the tornadoes and the storms, then you have to be surrendered and submissive and in tune to those things about it. But suddenly we depend on a 911 or somebody else to tell us when we need to take shelter. Did you realize now that many people, as they cross the street, they come to this highway and they look up and there's a sign that's got a big old hand on it that says, "Don't walk." Well, you're focused on the sign because you've been taught that that sign is smart enough to tell you when to walk the street. Do you know right now that some of us in this very room are so naive and so out of tune and so disconnected to God and His creation that we believe us that that sign can't get broken? It works every time. So if it says don't walk, we just take off walking and we get hit by a truck. You say, that sounds absurd. It's not absurd. Because increasingly we are becoming out of tune with creation. We're coming out of tune with God. And yet we look at each other, our children, in our hearts, and we are moved by the mystery and the wonder of life. There are so many things that we just don't have answers to questions about. And I'm still glad there's so many things we don't have answers to questions about. Friday this past week, I was visiting a young man who's 26 years old, a Duke, and he has had an operative brain tumor, and everything about him is right. He's brilliant and smart and achieved and accomplished, and his dad and his mother and all the physicians at Duke are perplexed by why he's not responding to their surgery and to their oncology and to their treatment. And his dad is wrestling over and over with the why and the where questions. And afterwards, Alice's father, Lewis, was with us and sitting there, and he got enwrapped in some of that theological conversation. Now, you can just believe this was a heavy conversation. Dave Kennedy, who's a chaplain, myself, professor of ethics at Duke University, and one of the surgeons sat there, and Grandpa sat right there. And I thought he'd be bored, slammed to death. We went outside. He says, "Neil, why did y'all quit talking?" I said, "What?" He says, "Y'all were talking about Jesus and the mystery of life." And that was profound. Profound in that he understood and perceived and knew that there are just a lot of things in life we don't have answers for. And then Lewis said to me, "Well, you know, Neil, you just got to let God do his work and get out of his way." Here's a man who just sees creation for what it is. But here's a man who has taught me the lesson that we have complicated our life because we're so confused with our own intelligent questions that we fail to look at the obvious, the earth and the rain. So every one of us can see. Every one of us can perceive and understand. But when we ask that question, well, what are the things that God didn't create? God did not create plastic. God did not create all those toxic materials that are filling our water sources and filling our minds. God did not create those computers that have two dimensions. If you think a computer has three dimensions, then you walk up to it and smell it. You can't smell topsoil on a computer. You can't feel rain fall from a computer. God is good, but we need to be in tune to the things that God's about. You see, God did not create jealousy and envy and greed. God did not create malice and hatred. God did not create strife. God created all creation. God created life. Are you and I going to live it? Are you and I going to surrender ourselves to that reality, as simple as it is, and say, "Thank you, God, for the life that you've given to me as it is"? Or are we always trying to be what somebody says we ought to be instead of being all that God has allowed us to be? We're always inflicting upon our loved ones, our children, our kinfolks, things we want them to do rather than being brave enough and honest enough to just let them be God's creation and loving people for who they are, where they are, and what they are. You see, God is the source of all truth. And all beauty, and all grace, and all peace, and all love, and all joy. These things you cannot create. You can have a big, nice diamond ring. It's 2 carats and 0.5 carat, or it can be out of the bottom of a Coca-Cola bottle. It will not make love. You can pick up the finest piece of formed art that there is on creation, and you can put it in your home, and you can adore it and appreciate it, but you put it to your heart, it doesn't warm you at all. You can have the newest, the finest, freshest smelling new car, but it will not love you. The only thing that will love you is the humility of your own heart towards another human being. The only thing that will love you is when you surrender your heart to God and you realize who you are ain't so bad after all. You know why? Because God created you. Oh, no, no, no. I know my mother and my father. I know. You missed the point. God created us, and only God can create and give life to human beings. In the Hebrew language, created, it means that God is actively bringing into existence. Well, we got a microphone, we got electronics, we got a grand piano that sounds like a grand organ, and a grand organ that looks like a piano. It's wonderful. But I promise you, unless Miss Jordan, as she sits there, doesn't have the heart and the feel and the human that's in that, the music that comes out of it is dull and bland and authentic and synthetic. It has to come from the heart. Well, that sounds so easy. You see, the problem is we think that we're all powerful. We can go to the moon. We're searching for what? Every time we go to a new adventure out into space, what are we looking for? We're looking for water, topsoil, organic matter. That's what we're looking for. We are smart enough to realize that's where it all began. That's who we are. And without either, we will not exist. This summer has found you taking vacation. School started back up Friday for most of us. And now we're into this process. But what did you find in this journey? And wherever you journey, I hope that you didn't think you found love there. I hope it just brought you back home and reminded you the most precious place in your life is right under your back doorsteps, where you live, right here and right now. It's the people that you pray with and live with and care for you. It's the people that remind you that you're human. It's the people that you can say, look, I've got an abscess too. I don't know how many congregations invite others to know you've got an abscess too. Well, that's exciting. Kind of personal. And hallelujah, you got some healing over there. And that's what it's about. When you can be real to each other instead of being synthetic and artificial. You see, there are things that only God can create. Genesis 1 told us very quickly, only God can create a heaven and an earth. The psalmist reminds us that only God can create a pure heart. Oh, wait a minute, I can get a pure heart. I need to go sit beside that river and do some fishing. I need to go to the coast or to the beach or to the mountains. I need to take a trip so I can clean myself. I need to get away from here so I can get a pure heart. I got news for you. You'll come back dirtier than ever. It's that old story, you know. People say, you know, I left this town where the people were just griping and fussing, and I didn't like none of them, and I'm sure this town's going to be a lot different. Got news for you. It's going to be just like the place you left. It ain't going to change because that's who you are. If you and I want a pure heart, only God can give it to you. It's a wonderful feeling. Isaiah 43 reminds us also that only God can redeem us and forgive us. But we have to acknowledge our impurities, our uncleanliness, our unworthiness. The scripture says he gives us a new heaven and a new earth. And as was read in Romans, if we don't pay attention, then we're going to begin to do the things that are totally unnatural. And that's what our world is about. It's hard for you and I as adults and you as young people and we as parents to separate the fantasy from the reality, but it's really not hard at all. We need to listen to the truth. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the light. And no one comes to the Father but my simple, isn't it? Nothing profound there. Well, you know, preacher, I need to feed the hungry and I need to teach the illiterate to read. I need to go to South America and tell everybody about Jesus. I need to go to the prisons because it's full of sinners. I need to go out onto the streets. No, what you need to do is humble yourself and call on Jesus. And the last thing you need to do is tell everybody what you are doing. We will know we are Christians by our love. Well, what are you and I going to do this afternoon? 2 Peter 3:10 reminds us that Jesus is the Messiah. That Jesus is the one that shows us the way and the truth and the life. It is Jesus who can cause us to take on a new attitude. This is the peace that passes all understanding. We're such a busy people. We've got to be going somewhere. We've got to be moving. We've got to be changing things. When are we going to learn just to be still? When you do that, then we all can see what you can't see. You can see God. When's the last time you just sat still and watched the wind move a tree or a leaf? When's the last time you just simply looked at a butterfly or you watched a kid just play? Or have you got the entertainment? I need to get them some new toys. They need some new toys, so you go out to wherever you go and get it, you come back with a whole bunch of plastic. And they play with it for just about that long. And that's it. Kids know how to be kids. Be careful, what I say now may get me in trouble. Kids also know how to be godly. If you leave them alone. If you leave a child alone, that child will show you the face of God. But we don't let that happen. We're too busy forming kids in our mind. Instead of seeing the divine that's in their minds. The psalmist presents creation as a revelation, as revealing. And it says no one can hide. No one, not even a non-believer. Those who don't even cry out, Father, Father. Everyone can see God. Everyone. The problem is, sometimes we run from God. Sometimes the God we see is not what we wanted God to be, because the God we see says, son, I love you just the way you are. We're too busy trying to be what we're not supposed to be. Well, the question is, how can we see what we can't see? Some say it can't be seen. Some say through magic. Some say through illusion. Some say through movie and theater and drama. But Romans 1:20 says, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen." What did it say? Read it again. Since the creation of the world. You know, I get people that dial up. A Chaplain Smith, I'm a brother such and such, bishop such and such. You got a church here, Reverend Wendell, and I want to bring Jesus to your prison. And I'm listening to be politically correct, because I know if I'm not politically correct, they'll call Governor Easley. And so I have to be nice. Here's what I really like to say. You know, Jesus is already here. And he'll probably look better if you don't come. But I don't do that. That's what I want to tell them, because they've got a hidden agenda. They want to bring 5 gallons of healing oil, and they want to bring a shout and jumping choir, and they want to bring a paper quarter so they put it on the radio and get people to send him. I know what they want. But then I tell them something like this. God is here.
What?
Yeah. He comes in all forms. He's committed as a felon. He's a murderer, a rapist. This is going to sit heavy with some of you. I know that it's probably going to cast me out into the sea. But I believe that. The only thing is, these people don't believe it because they've been told all their life how mean and wicked and corrupt they are. And then I look to them and I say, you know, there's a little bit of God in your heart. And they say, Chaplain, you're crazy, man. I'm bad. Look at these tattoos. Man, I'm serving 42 years, not for being good. I say, you ain't no criminal. There's more criminals in town hall than there is here. You ain't a criminal. You didn't hear me say that. And they look at me and say, you know, I never thought that. Everybody told me, my teachers told me I was bad, the preacher told me I was bad, the law told me I was bad. I'm bad. I said, yeah, you really are bad. But God loves you, bad self. And after about a year or so, he'll say, Chaplain, you know, and he'll see a change. I said, now go look in the mirror and see what you see. You'll see what God gave to you. Well, we're so confused about telling people what they are that we need to see them for who they are. And even Paul said, hear it again. Since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, and his divine nature have been clearly seen. Isn't that wonderful? You didn't know that was in the scripture, did you? I didn't either. But I found it. Man, it jumped on me. Woo, it's good stuff. And it says it can clearly be seen. It can be understood from what has been made and what has been made. You have to be careful, because we're trying to tell everybody that this is where God is. He's in this music. No, he's inspired there. This is where God is. He's in the earth and the heavens. So simple. And here we are, the Church of Christ. Are you listening today? Have you got your radio turned on? You know, every one of us here today is a receiver. You know, you can sit there and play with it, tune it in. But every one of us is a receiver. And the message is going forth. But you have to turn it on to hear it. What is God telling us? God is telling us that he loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son. That's how much he loved us. Are you listening? Are we so busy trying to listen to every wrong station? No, there's a man over here down at the university or down at the doctor's office or down on the TV. What his name? These TV programs, they're on all the time, all night long. They're telling me where I can find my peace. I need to buy me another piece of plastic, and I'll be happy. Another car. I need to take a trip down to some island I've never been to. What you really need to do is just adjust your knob a little bit and tune in. I suggest you do it this way. Go home and sit on your back porch or front porch if you got one. Most people don't have back porches and front porches no more. They don't like them. Wherever you sit and be still, and turn that infernal noise off in your house. Call a computer, a cell phone, whatever it is, just turn it off and get in touch with God. Some of you had vacations, haven't you? Probably all of us. And here we are back, ready to get into the grind. School's going, jobs are going, you know, whoa, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. Got to buy some clothes, got to buy some paper. Be still and know that I am the Lord. So how can you see what you can't see? You figure it out. God's made it clear. Listen. Shall we pray? Holy God, as we turn and tune and twist our hearts, our radios, help us to listen to the Master. Help us to turn our voices and hearts to the one who has touched our hearts and remind us that we are His children. Help us to know that God has hid Himself from no one. And when God speaks, He's speaking to us humbly and graciously and with kindness. Have we heard the voice of God? Or have we depressed His voice, suppressed His joy, and denied His simple truth? Holy God, give every man and woman and child in this congregation an urgency to look to the right source, to hear and to see and to know. That source is creation, for God created us. All we have to do is look in the mirror, and we see. Forgive us, God, for being so arrogant and so stubborn, so self-centered, so distracted, but slow us down a bit that we may hear your message. As God's message is broadcast, and as God has planted a receiver that's in our hearts, let us be thankful. For we now are a people without an excuse, for God has spoken to all. But it's up to us to tune God in. Help us to do it right now and forevermore. In His holy name we pray. Amen.